House Committee on Revenue for February 26, 2016 will come to order. Colleagues, I'll note that Senate Bill 1507 is not ready, so we're going to deal with that probably after a recess today. We'll open the public hearing for Senate Bill 1565. Is there anyone else who wants to be heard on Senate Bill 1565? Mr. Cross, are you in the room? Don't see him. Okay. Gosh. Nobody else wants to be heard? We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1565 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1565. Kyle, would you describe for us the Dash 16 amendment that we're looking at here?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon. Senate Bill 1565, the A16, I would direct you to a summary of changes in the meeting materials on OLIS, and it's up there on the screen. And it's the same summary as the A14 that the committee members saw yesterday, minus two things. And those are the things that are crossed out in red there. So this was discussed at the hearing earlier on the Dash A14. So all the information or all the language is the same, with the exception of number three up there, which is changing the initial cost of investment. Rather than that being changed from $1 million to $2 million, it's left unchanged. So it remains at $1 million, which was in the underlying bill. And then number four was the requirement that the industrial property that would qualify or could potentially qualify for exemption, to do that would have to be placed on existing industrial property that had a value of $1 million or more, real market value, at the time that the improvements come on. So that has also been removed. So at this time, it's just the value of the improvements that would necessarily be required for the qualification, not any existing property at this point. So those two portions are removed, and that's really the only change from the A14 to the A16.
Okay, Representative Davis?
And Kyle, going down to the requirement six, I see requirements one, two, and five as more process requirements that are definitely within the spirit of the original intent of the bill. But six is a pretty substantive, change, and I just want to make clear what that does and that where that definition comes from with 40,000 or more. Can you explain that?
Yes, Representative Davis. So that language is taken for the strategic investment program. There's an urban-rural distinction there and qualification requirements for the SIP, but it's the language lines up there. So to qualify for the exemption, these improvements to industrial property would have to be placed at a location outside of the urban growth boundary of a city of 40,000 or more, with a population of 40,000 or more. And one thing to keep in mind there, it's the urban growth boundary of the city. So in this case, you could think like the Portland metro region is an urban growth boundary. You also see that in, say, Salem-Keizer is another example where a city might be smaller than 40,000, but because they're part of the larger urban growth boundary, they would also be excluded from, or a property, new property coming on the roll would be excluded from being able to qualify for this exemption if it's within the urban growth boundary of 40,000 or more. And so it makes it more of a rural.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes, please. Yeah.
And I've been told that there are 12 cities in the state above 40,000. I haven't counted them myself, but essentially, I think what this amendment does and what the rural SIP program does is it says that outside of the urban growth boundaries of those 12 metro areas is where this program would apply. Inside those boundaries, it would not apply. And in a sense, while I think that there's some significant work that needs to take place with the definition of rural SIP and urban SIPs, this fills a gap between the rural SIP program, which is $25 million, and the $1 million to $25 million area, and allows rural parts of the state to craft an economic development policy for those areas. So I'm supportive.
Thank you. Other discussion? Representative Vance?
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash A16 amendment to Senate Bill 1565A.
Thank you. Representative Vance moves the Dash A16 amendment to Senate Bill 1565. Is there further discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, it's so ordered. Representative Vance?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 1565A as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Vance moves Senate Bill 1565A as amended to the floor with a two-pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Yes, Representative Smith-Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that I'm happy with the amendment that we added to this because I think it puts on some good, strong sideboards. In the spirit of wishing that there were more, I am going to be a no on this today out of committee.
Thank you. Other discussion. I think we'd better, given that comment, I think we'd better call the roll. Please, the motion is on sending the bill to the floor as amended with a due pass.
Representative Davis.
Aye.
Representative Helm.
Aye.
Representative Johnson.
Aye.
Representative Leiniger.
Aye.
Representative Nose.
Aye.
Representative Whitsitt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Smith-Warner.
No.
Vice Chair Betts.
Aye.
Chair Barnhart.
Aye. Motion carries. The bill goes to the floor. Representative Evans will carry, and with that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1565. Colleagues, it turns out that we're not ready on 1507, and I've been given leave by the Speaker to recess to a later time. I understand there's a number of other things going on this afternoon, including floor at 2 o'clock, so be prepared to come back sometime after that, and hopefully we'll have figured out where we are on 1565. And I apologize to those who have come to testify on the hearing on that because I'm going to make you wait around, and I apologize for that. And with that, the committee is in recess. Oh. The House Committee on Revenue will reconvene. I can report that we've had considerable conversations in the House concerning Senate Bill 1507 and what our process is going to be from here. I think it's quite obvious, I hope it's quite obvious, that we're not actually going to be able to do anything additionally today. And what my plan is to hold the work session and the public hearing over until Monday at 1 o'clock, which is our normal committee time, and we'll see whether we're able to convene that committee and hold that hearing and work session. At this point, I have no promises. I think that's the notice I need to make on the record, isn't it? All right. And with that, committee's adjourned.